Today's perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, and we're holding it perek Chof Tet. So we saw yesterday the contrast, actually the past 2 days, we've seen in a fantastic literary trick over here of two screens. One screen has Shaul the night before, and one screen has David the night before, as we're about to have over here. We've been switching back and forth between Shaul and David to see what's happened. They've both come to terrible impasses, so that it comes out that they've both been reduced to being in circumstances that run very, very much against what they really want to be, what they really want to do. Shaul is sitting here in the darkness, which we're calling Lila three times, in the darkness with the Baalat Oath. David is sitting there with the Plishtim pretending that he's on their side. Shmuel is in a very strange situation in which he says that this whole thing is ridiculous. Why am I involved in this? What are you asking me for? You've basically messed up your life. I told you in the beginning that it was ended. Now it's taken you the past years to be able to accept what I said to you. And this is what happened. Hashem sar me alav. Remember those words? The moment that David was nimshach, the Hashem was Shera on David and was Sar, Meim Shaul. Shaul never acknowledged that. The first time that things come out in the open, we saw yesterday, was where Shmuel openly says David, and never said David before, just said, some guy better than you are. Now it's David, David, David. And Shaul himself is saying the words, Hashem Sar Me'alai, and I don't have any access to anything at all. There's no, now, especially according to those shitas, that there ain't no such thing as talking to the dead. And this entire thing was going on in Shaul's semi-deranged mind because of his need to believe that he was talking to Shmuel, this woman who anyway is a faker doing her seances. As some of the Gainim say this, there's no such thing as real Maaseov, and that what was happening is that she immediately caught on to what was going. Everybody knew that David was going to be king. Everybody knew that he was screwing up the country. Everybody knew that it was Shaul. Everybody knew that it was leading the country to disaster and this war with the Plishtim without having any sense that there's a difference between chasing after the jumping David and doing his job correctly. And therefore, she said to him the things that she knew would shake him to the core, which was, this is what Shmuel would have said, and therefore he hears this. So she played to his own subconscious fears in recognizing what it was that he needed to hear, in which case none of this really happened. It's just talking about the impact on Shaul, as if he spoke to Shmuel. The point of it was because we never find that there's such a thing as a nevi'ut in death. What does this mean to talk to Shmuel? Even if there were such a thing, I mean, well, I understand Shmuel's getting neviut. Did you ever hear of something that somebody has a neviut in death? That's true. There is such a thing as the michtav mi'Eliyahu, which we'll see later in Divrei Hayamim. But remember that Eliyahu didn't die, so that's a whole different issue. But as far as neviut in death, the truth is there's a way out of that problem, because the only thing that Shmuel says is that tomorrow you're with me. The Gemara in Baruch says that anyone who's dead may know tomorrow you're with me, because they're Magdim and Machris, that there's going to be a Mokum for so-and-so. And so, Mamela, if there is some sense of Mesifta Derakia or whatever the case is, so that isn't a Neviut anyway. So Shmuel is not claiming to be a Navi over here necessarily. Okay, there's many, many different approaches, more rational approaches, rationalist approaches, less rationalist approaches. Whatever the case may be, that's all irrelevant. What's important to us is that Shaul has finally come face to face with the things that he always knew, and now he's going to make his determination on whether he's going to continue to fight it or whether he's just going to do what needs to be done. So here we are in Perek Chof Tet. And we're moving back now in our split screen to the other side of the screen, watching what is happening now to David. And so they've all gathered in Afek. Now, this is a little strange because before we said that they were gathered in Shunem. But it doesn't say that they were chone. So what this might be saying is that the original kibbutzim was going back in time. The kibbutz, this is what some of the Farshim suggests, the kibbutz was in Afek, and from there they moved up to the Gilboa. Yisrael chonim ba'ayin asher b'Yisrael. Now the Jews were in the famous spring in Israel. There's some question if that's the case. What does this have to do with the Gilboa? Were they up on the Gilboa? Were they down in Emek Israel? There are some who hold that. What would Afek have to do with the Gilboa? Afek's not near the Gilboa. It's in the area of the Plishtim. If you take a look on the maps that we provided you. So that it could be that they were going to move up from Afek directly up to the Gilboa. Of course, to the Gilboa, meaning the Hara Gilboa. And therefore, if you go for a little drive to the Gilboa, you'll find every town is named after David, Yonatan, or the story of the Melchama, the Plishtim. Every park has got some reference to this story, because people are very, very aware of the tragedy of this war, the Melchama Gilboa. So, in any event, either this means Afeka, which is closer to where the Jews were, in the Ayin B'Yisrael, or the troops had moved, or this is going back in time telling us the original gathering was in Afek, to move to Shunem near the area of the Hara Gilboa. But in any event, the army is moving. So Visarnei Plishtim Ovrim, you've got, remember, the Federation of the Plishtim was the five independent areas of the Plishtim. There were five Sarnei Plishtim. So the Sarnei Plishtim are the governors. Ovrim lemeot v'lalafim, the men with them in troops of hundreds, gathering into troops of thousands. So they had the army split in that way. And David v'anashav, the last ones out to join the plishtim, because they're together with the king. The minig of the king of the goyim is not to go in front, which is the minig of the Jews, but to go in the back. So since Achish is the leader, he's the last one there, and since he's appointed David v'anashav as his personal bodyguard, so David and his men are in the back. Vayomru sarei pelishtim, what the heck are these Jews doing here? My vrima ela, wait a minute.
Speaking about David and his...
Yeah, well, what are these guys doing here? Vayomer achish al sarei pelishtim, what do you mean, what are they doing here? You know who this is? This is just not a regular Jew. This is David, Evet Shaul Melech Yisrael, who's turned his back. Asher Ayayti Zeyamim, he's been with me for a long time. Ozer Shanim, if we look back, you know. Lo Metzati Bo Me'uma, Miyom Naflo Ad Hayom Hazeh. From the day he fell into my hand, I never found any slightest sign of disloyalty. Completely loyal. What's your problem? Oh, they got a little angry at that. Oh, you are the guy to know if he's really loyal. Get him out of here. You believe he's trustworthy. You gave him the city of Tziklag. What'd you do that for? Because you want him to protect the flanks, right? From all of these marauding troops out there, the Amalekites and everything. So now you brought him up here. What? To leave the flanks now free for an attack of Amalek, which is exactly what happens, as we'll see in the next parak. Let him go back to where he was. But the last place you want him is here. Lo yerenim ro b'milchama. Lo yelano l'satan b'milchama. That's all we need is to have a fifth column over here. You're telling me, by the way, you yourself said, he is the Eved of Shaul. What do you think would make him happier? Bamiditrat says Zel Adonav, the best way for him to get back in favor with Shaul is to present him with our heads, wouldn't you say? Halo Baroshe Anashimaim, you might recall he's got this thing for heads. You know, he's done this before. If he did it to Goliath, he could certainly do it to us. Not a good idea to have him here in all of the tumult of the war. Remember who this is, Halo Zed David, Asher Yanula Bimecholot Lemor. Hikash Shaul ba'alafav v'David beribavotav. So if you think that this is a way for him to be part of us, there's two possibilities that we could see that are far more likely. One is getting back to Shaul. The other one is building up his own alternative Malchus by showing that he defeated the Plishtim and getting rid of Shaul. Either way, it's dumb. So Vayikra Achish al David vayomer elav. So Achish is in a little tight spot over here. I mean, he's got his David as his most trustworthy guy. Vayomer elav, he says to him, Chai Adonai ki yashar ata v'tov beinai. So here's a Plishti swearing by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Fascinating. Now, some of the Mefarshim point out, look, as the Gemara says in Menachas, all of the Goyim are made at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just they hold that they have their little shituf of their sarim, you know. They got to worry about the Son and the Holy Ghost, but, you know, you can certainly talk about the ultimate Father. They call him Eloheo Elohim. So he's speaking to a Jew. He's not going to say Chai Dagon. What's he going to say? He says Chai Hashem. As far as I'm concerned, you're completely trustworthy. V'tov beinai tzitcha v'achayti b'machaneh. I would be perfectly happy having you right out here in the war. Kilo matzati v'chara'a miyom bo'acha elai ad hayom hazeh. Problem is, b'nei asranim lo tovata. They don't like this. Now notice, he doesn't say b'nei sareha plishtim. He says b'nei asranim. So the Malbim is medayik that there were two stages in this discussion, as we'll see. Achish did not want to tell David that there were any concerns about his loyalty. He made it look like there were concerns about his presence taking away from the covet of the Saranim, since he is the one that is the personal bodyguard to Achish, and the one that should be with Achish are the Saranim. And this they consider to be an invasion of their territory. So I'm not telling you, Chas v'Shalom, not, but I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to ask you to be a regular soldier in the war. I mean, I couldn't do that. So since you're not going to be my personal bodyguard, you shouldn't be here. Which explains the entire discussion later. If you don't learn like the Malbim, it's very difficult to understand the give and take over here between David and Achish. So David says so. He says, "Vatashuv v'lech b'shalom." The best thing is, you know what? Just go back. V'lo taseh ra b'nei sarnei filishtim. This is going to be a whole political issue. You know what? Whatever you do is not going to be good, because they're always going to find something that's taking away from them. The best thing is go back. Vayomer David el Achish. This is terrible. Ki me asiti u'ma matzata b'avdecha. מיום אשר הייתי לפניך עד היום הזה, כי לא אבוא ונלחמתי באויבי אדוני המלך. Now this is brilliant, the way the Malbim is learning, is that since the Sarnei, at least we're only complaining about David, so now what it was that Achish was saying was that you and only you, notice he doesn't make any mention of the men. You go back because it's a personal thing. So David now is in a bad spot because he's going to have his men's life. Like, this is great. Now he's going to get thrown out. He doesn't have the whole problem of the, what's he going to do? When's he going to do it? How's he going to handle the situation? This is a pretty tight kind of situation. I mean, he's in the middle of a million Plishtim troops and, you know, and he's supposed to be fighting the Plishtim. So thank God, Achish says, go back. But he didn't say go back with your men. All he was go back because it's inappropriate for you to be the one in the ways of the Saranim. So therefore, David's trying to get him to send everybody back. So he says to him, look, I mean, I don't care about if they don't want me to be the bodyguard. I would be a regular foot soldier. Because he understood, of course, the problem was dual loyalty, not a personal problem. So he knows that if he pushes Achish, Achish is going to have to say that, well, the truth is, okay, so if the truth is, then he can't have any of the Jews with him. So then he'll have to fess up and say, you know what, you better go back with all your men. So it works out perfectly. And the Malbim's diak is perfect, because when he fesses up, he says, well, the truth is, it's the Sarim. And he doesn't say it's the Saranim. So the whole thing is extremely meduyak, right? So he says, now, I would be very happy, why aren't you allowing me to fight? What did I do wrong that I'm not being allowed to participate and fight your enemies. This is terrible. So at this point, Achish has to say, well, the truth is, Vayan Achish Vayomer El David, Yadati Ki, look, I know how you feel, you know. Kitov Ata Beinai Kemalach Elohim, look, as far as I'm concerned, you're an angel. I mean, I can't imagine a guy more reliable. Ach Sarei Plishtim, the truth is, I didn't tell you the whole story. The Sarei Plishtim don't want you in the war at all. See how Meduyek it is, beautiful. Lo Yalu Imanu Babil Chama. So, okay, so now that I've told you, you better take all your men, right? Notice that in the first version, where Achish at first responded and said, he says, V'ata shuv v'lech b'shalom, go in peace. Now he tells him, Vishkamta baboker, get up early in the morning, which, by the way, proves that this is going on at night. So our split screen is literally the same time. That night, this is what's going on with Shaul on one side. That night, this is what's going on with David on the other side. Why does he tell him now Ishkamta Baboker? Because if David himself left, it's not a problem. But if we're making a big fuss over here and all of these hundreds of people are going back with David, that should be done in the darkness, not to make a scene of it that, oh, what's going on? Well, there's loyalty issues, maybe a fifth column. That I don't want. So, okay, so do it at night before everybody's ready to see what's happening. So, Vishkamtem Baboker, V'orlachem, the moment that you get enough light to travel, go, V'lechu. So now David's in a perfect position because he's got his men back and he's been saved by Achish. He was managed to push Achish into telling him the truth, which forced Achish to be Meshachrer, the entire band. V'yashkem David, hu va'anashav, L'alechet Baboker, L'ashuv el Eretz Plishtim. And so he's heading back to Tziklag, and the Plishtim, Alu Yisrael, they're heading to the war of the Gilboa.